Happy Monday, Pink Lemonade Stand.
Pink Lemonade Stand.
Welcome to the Pink Lemonade Stand, where we are serving up smiles.
When life gets sour, we say, pucker up and squeeze the day.
Happy Monday, Pink Lemonade Stand.
Happy Monday. Happy Tuesday, Wednesday morning, or whatever day you're listening.
We are drawing inspiration from our fabulous guest coming up later on in today's episode, Greg Cada. That's a Gregism.
It's a great introduction. And Nicole, great radio voice.
I loved it. It was kind really of good. Like Delilah. A little Delilah?
Very Delilah, yes. Okay, I have to tell you about this movie that I saw on Netflix. You know how they have the top 10?
Yeah.
Okay, so I always kind of use that as a guide to be like, oh, what's popular right now?
Oh, absolutely.
But just because something's popular doesn't necessarily mean it's like the best.
Right.
Because, you know, it's just whatever's like the most high streams maybe. There is a movie on Netflix in the top 10, and when I watched it, it was number one on the Netflix top 10. This was with notable actors. This movie is called Deadly Illusion. And the descriptors were psychological thriller. Right up our alley.
Yes.
I'm like, I don't want a rom-com they have. I want a psychological thriller. Of course, yeah, it was always, my first always. Choice. So, okay, you know who stars in this movie are people who we know. Kristen Davis, who was Charlotte on Sex and the City.
Yeah.
Huge. Love her. She's the best. And then her husband is Dermot Mulroney. Is that how you say his name?
Yes. Oh, love him too.
Handsome. Everybody's obsessed with him. I wanted to marry him 1,000 times. And I was like, okay, I love these actors. This is going to be great. I didn't even watch the trailer. Nicole, I am telling you, this movie might beat out the best, worst movie ever made in Hollywood called The Room.
What?
Remember that movie?
Yes.
That James...
Hammock.
Oh, Hammock. James Franco made a movie called The Disaster Artist about this movie called The Room, which was the worst movie ever made in Hollywood. It became notorious. It was played in theaters to this day, still all over, like a cult classic. Deadly Illusions might be up there with the best, worst movie. I can't even believe it. If you are listening to this and you have any desire to go watch it because it's so bad, I encourage you. It's so bad.
It's the best, worst ever? Do you think that's why it's number one? Have people caught on?
Maybe.
Or do you think people are just duped because they love the actors and they think it's going to be great?
Oh, you're definitely getting duped. That's the thing. I started halfway through. I mean, I knew it was bad, but I thought maybe there's not going to be some cool twist. And I got on IMDb and sure enough, 3.6 out of 10.
What's it called again?
Deadly Illusions.
I'm looking it up because I want to know Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, yeah. Look up Rotten Tomatoes.
I'm doing it. Okay. I'm looking it up.
Because
Deadly Illusions.
I normally go by a Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, God.
Did it get in the trash?
13%.
13%.
10% audience score.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow, that you rarely see anything in the teens.
No, and I won't watch anything. I won't watch anything that's below 70% on Rotten Tomatoes. Not a single thing. And this
Did this get to number one? I can't even believe it.
I don't know, and I can't believe I watched the whole entire thing. In the end of the movie, this is not a spoiler, but in the end, it says the end.
Gross.
The words. The end.
Oh my God.
Now I question
Netflix and their editorial eye. I'm worried.
Who chose? But you know who I'm the most sad for? Kristen Davis and Dermot Mulroney. How did they? How? Jokes on them. How did they get roped into this?
Ooh, that's really tough.
They're like that's the really tough. Okay, the craziest things happened in this movie where you're like, no, this is not real. Like, how could this be made? It's so crazy that I almost want you and everyone else to watch it so that we can all talk about it. But I think I'm the only one that fell for the trap.
No, I mean, there are so many. I would watch it, but there are so many good movies to watch that I feel like it's almost a crime to watch a 13% on Rotten Tomatoes when you can watch something. Like, for instance, last night I watched The Shining. You want to talk about a psychological thriller?
You watched The Shining? Did you guys pull that out of your movie bowl?
Yes. We pulled The Shining. We got The Shining.
And... Wait, tell the listeners about the movie bowl.
Okay. So... my husband and I always want to watch a movie and we'll say, okay, what should we watch? And then we'll end up being like, I don't know, what are we in the mood for? And then you end up looking through all of what's on Netflix. Then you go, oh, well, what's on HBO Max? And then you look at that. Well, what's on Amazon Prime? And by the end, you've just wasted an hour. And so then you go back and you watch like Parks and Rec.
Yeah.
And you never even watch the movie. So we came up with an idea that we were going to think of movies that we want to watch, like whenever you think of it, we take like little pieces of paper and we fold them up. We write the name of a movie on it that we want to see and we fold it up and we put it in this bowl. We've gone through like the AFI 100 and looked back and picked out old movies that we hadn't seen. We've run the gamut from like things that are out now to things that were classics.
Yeah. And so, especially when you make, there's so many classics that we just never got around to. Like one of the movies that I have still never seen to this day, Schindler's List.
Still yeah, and that's one of those it. Ones that we have Schindler's List in the bowl as well, because that's not one that you're never really in the mood to watch Schindler's
when
List.
When are you in the mood, you know?
It's but you know you need to watch it at some point, and so you put it in movie bowl, and if you pick it out, that's it. That's the movie, and there's no discussion about it, and you only get, we made a rule, we haven't used it yet, but we made a rule that you get like one throwback.
Okay, that's a good one.
So you got to use it, you've got to use it wisely. But so we had The Shining in Movie Bowl. We picked it out last night. And I tell you what,
ooh,
that's scary.
It's rough. God. That is scary. It's still scary.
It holds up so well.
Even to this day.
Wow. To this day.
And now, then you go to bed with different kind of scares. Like not someone's breaking in, but that maybe... Graham's gonna go crazy and you have to use the candlestick on it.
Here's Johnny.
But I just have to tell you today, because I've been PMSing so hard. So today he comes in and starts talking to me. And he had been like kind of interrupting me throughout the day. And I know like when he's working in his office, it's very clear like he's at work. But for me, I'm sitting at the kitchen table or I'm walking around with my AirPods in and I'm listening, but I'm working. I'm not sitting at a desk, but I'm still doing like work. And so he just kept interrupting me at times when I was working. And so he started talking to me and I was in the middle of Greg's interview and I was like, I'm working here or something like that. And he was like... You're literally like Jack Nicholson when he's sitting with his typewriter and he's like, when I'm here, don't talk to me. And he freaks out. When you hear this, and he's clicking.
Distracting me, and it will then take me time to get back to where I was.
So, that was you. That was me today. I had a full here's Johnny moment.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. That's so funny.
So I was so nervous at the end of that one. Like I started stress eating. Like I don't even I walked out of that. Graham was like, do you need me to pause it or something? I was like, no, I had to just go grab a bag of chips and come back because I needed some sort of activity because I was going crazy. I was
it's
so scared.
So stressful. It's so stressful. Oh, wow.
So we had two very different thriller experiences.
Oh, gosh. The Deadly Illusion is steer clear of the number ones. So insane.
I am really upset that that was a number one, because I would have done the same exact thing. I would have seen that it was number one and I would have watched it just like you.
Yeah.
That's what you do. Maybe James Franco will do a version of it.
He absolutely should.
Like, we need him to watch it and come up with something.
He absolutely should.
Deadly Illusions.
So there you go. There's your movie.
Movie news. Your psychological thriller news. We want to continue to thank you for listening to our podcast and remind you to subscribe and please leave us a 5-star review.
Yes, every time you all share with your friends, pass the podcast along, each review, every star, it makes a huge difference for us. So we appreciate you. And remember to RRS.
Rate, review, and subscribe.
Now it's time for the sweetest thing, our good news story segment. So Nicole, what do you got for us today?
Teen saves best friend's life 24 hours after taking CPR course.
Oh my gosh. Go
this
on.
This is insane. This timing. You gotta hear this. Okay.
Wow.
Teenager Azaria Simmons was lucky that her friend Toriel Norwood, 16 years old, both of them are 16, attended and paid attention during a CPR class.
Wow.
Norwood had to apply her CPR lessons just one day after taking the life-saving course, ultimately saving her best friend's life. So, according to CNN, while she was driving three friends home, Norwood's car was T-boned by a speeding driver, sending the car barreling into a tree. Two of the passengers were unhurt and were able to safely get out of the cars, but Simmons was trapped in the car and was completely unresponsive because she hit her head on the window. So she was in really bad shape. So Norwood pulls Simmons from the car, checks her vital signs. She was unable to detect her friend's pulse, so she began implementing the CPR techniques she learned the day before. So,
oh my gosh!
After 30 compressions and 2 rescue breaths, Simmons regained consciousness, and the paramedics arrived shortly after. She was taken to the hospital. And
oh my gosh. Wow.
Unbelievable.
That's amazing. Like, who pays attention a 16-year-old in any kind of class? I didn't.
Yeah.
Wow.
Her teacher, Erica Miller, from Lakewood High School's Athletic Lifestyle Management Academy, said, "This is what every teacher dreams of, that somebody listens, pays attention, and learns something."
But
both Simmons and Norwood intend to have careers in the medical field in the future.
I'm inspired.
I just
That's
love them.
Amazing.
It's they're super adorable too. We'll link that story for you. But yeah, what an amazing act of timing, right? That she had just taken that course and then had to put it to use a day later and literally saved her best friend's life.
I could use a CPR refresher course. I mean, we learned it when we were younger. You learned it because of lifeguarding, right?
Yes. Yeah. I had to take many CPR courses.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't a required thing in my school to take that. Was it in yours? Did you ever take
I don't think
CPR
we taught
course?
It. Not in school, but I took them. I remember taking them because I did so many babysitting jobs, and it was always when I was a nanny in New York, it was kind of like
true.
Put it on my resume.
Right.
So I did take it, but you never think that you're going to have to use it. You just never, you take it, you have the skill, but in the moment of the emergency, do you think you're going to do it right? It's very scary. It's very scary. I'm always scared about the rib part. Am I going to break a rib?
I know. And then I think the girls even talk about this in their story, or they made a comment about it. But I'm also completely obsessed with The Office, and I've seen all these episodes a million times. And there's one episode where they're doing CPR, and the instructor comes in and tells them to do the compressions to the beat of Staying Alive. Like, staying alive, staying alive. So that's...
Pulse,
your...
Pulse, and breathe.
Breathe.
Well, that is such an incredible story. Thank you for sharing that. Those girls are so inspiring.
Yes.
If any of you have good news stories that you know about in your neighborhood, with people that you know, please email us. We want to share them and we want to highlight those zesty stories.
Please send your sweetest things to theplspodcast@gmail.com.
And we also want to remind everyone about our good news story that we continue to highlight about the tiny home village in Los Angeles by the foundation Hope of the Valley, which is making a huge effort to fight against homelessness.
We have a GoFundMe linked here that you can go and join in and raise money to sponsor a tiny home. So please check out the link here and help us to make a difference out in LA with the tiny home village.
Introducing Hydro Jug. Though most of us know that staying hydrated is vital to a healthy lifestyle, the many benefits of drinking enough water may surprise you. With your Hydro Jug, you can improve your performance in many ways, ranging from muscle recovery to improved mental clarity. Here is why drinking enough water each day should be a key part of your everyday journey.
Yes, it aids in digestion, increases muscle performance, promotes healthy joints, clear mind, and glowing skin. I mean, what else could you want?
Yes, we want the glow.
You gotta have the glow. The Hydro Jug design delivers an entirely new kind of drinking experience because it holds a half gallon of water. So it completely cuts down on the time you need to frequently refill glass after glass after glass. I can't even tell you. I had so many water glasses sitting around before, always just like scattered about, a measly 8 ounce. What is that?
Yeah, no need to refill glasses. It has a wide mouth opening so you can put in supplements, ice, or fruit. And the plastic is BPA free and dishwasher safe, ensuring you'll always be drinking clean water.
But with Hydro Jug, there is nothing between you and crushing a gallon of water per day. So exciting.
Head over to thehydrojug.com and use our code PLS to get 10% off your order.
Yes, that is PLS to get 10% off your order at hydrojug.com. Go do it. It's easy peasy.
Lemon squeezy. Without further ado, it's time for
The Main Squeeze.
From Broadway dancer to TikTok guru, Greg Cada has done it all. With a master's in musical theater and a PhD in pop culture, show business is in his blood. As a director and choreographer, Greg's work has been performed at Radio City Music Hall, Lincoln Center, and the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, just to name a few.
But in the past year, Greg has gained celebrity on TikTok for his Gregisms, getting millions of views and celebrity applause on his hilarious videos where he encourages folks to find your joy. Please welcome to the stand, Greg Cada!
Woo!
Yes!
Well, hello.
Hello.
Greg, give us a happy Monday.
Happy Monday, Pink Lemonade Stand.
I love it. It's so good to see you, Greg.
It's good to see you.
We go back to Vegas days, which all of us have lived in Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
We've done a lot of shows together, a lot of very strange shows together. It was just your birthday. And I was scrolling through the pics. You know how you celebrate somebody's birthday by sharing a memory. And I had a fabulous one of you pop up where you were dressed as Tweety Bird and I was dressed as Elvis.
But my Tweety Bird was fierce.
Yes,
and
it was.
And it was a Tweety Bird that like was not a full body Tweety. Like my head was exposed, but then the Tweety head was on top of my head. So I looked like that drag queen from RuPaul, like with the extra head on the top. I was like, what? In the costume gods, it was not a cute look.
Dual head, BD. It really was a sight to behold. We will share that picture because it was meant to be seen.
I need to see it.
To be real. So, Greg, you're an actor. Now you've gone on to teaching and choreographing and directing. So you've really done it all in terms of entertainment. Can you give us just tell us a little bit about yourself and kind of where you are right now?
Well, I am a good Italian Catholic Midwestern boy born in Cleveland, Ohio, on the east side of the Mistake on the Lake. great, great upbringing. I have a very, very strong theory about people from Ohio. Ohio breeds best people. The ones that leave. Now, I'm going to offend a lot of Ohio people now. Don't trust the ones that stay. But the ones that get out, because I'll tell you, you know, everyone knows someone from Ohio. And everyone has a really strong liking of that person. They're like, oh, my God, that's Bob from you know, Columbus. I love Bob. So anyway, that's my Ohio blurb.
I agree with you. My college roommate was from Ohio. And my college roommate was from Ohio. Love her. Shout out to Lindsay. And Phil Drennan from Ohio.
100%.
Amazing people.
Ohio breeds the best. And then it secretly called me to leave. So so when I was 18, I got the hell out of there and moved to New York, went to college at NYU, studied theater, started working, got my first big break in a show called Dora the Explorer Live. I originated the role of Boots the Monkey, which will be my claim to fame on my grave. It was the hardest job of my life. But
here lies Greg.
He was Boots, pretty much. And I wouldn't really have it any other way. And I hope I get buried in the costume. Yeah.
Is it like in the Smithsonian or something right now?
It should be. You know, there's so much trauma that I have from that and PTSD from that costume. Yeah. And then I did the musical theater thing. I did Mamma Mia, moved to Las Vegas, you know, did some shows on the Strip. And then, you know, after I finished my like second big Strip show, I was like, I am climbing toward 40 and I think it's time for me to just find my joy in something completely consistent. And so I went back and got my master's in 2017. I moved to New Orleans to go to Tulane and graduated in May of 2019. And have been applying for professor jobs ever since. Because, you know, it's so easy to get a job at a college.
During a pandemic.
During a pandemic. When the industry shuts down and nobody wants to major in musical theater because there may be no musical theater.
Zoom is looking for professors.
Totally. I don't even know if I get hired there.
Yeah. Zoom University. You've had some time then. And so is that when you really thought, I'm going to get into the social media space?
This all happened so accidentally. You know, when the world shut down, which was literally right after my 40th birthday. So it was such a high midlife crisis moment. Mm. You know, but when everything stopped, you know, you what do they say? Idle hands at the devil's playground. I just had access to too much fun. And my friend had been trying to get me to get on TikTok forever. And I was like, absolutely not. And he would just send me videos. And then when you have an 8-hour day of nothing to do, I was like, all right, fine. Let me download this thing and see what it's all about. And I'm telling you, this is a warning to anyone that hasn't downloaded that app yet. Good luck. And make sure you tell your loved ones where you are for the first 4 days when you disappear, just so that they can check on you, maybe bring you some snacks, because you will find yourself waking up like, you know, maybe into next week, because you literally, I will say I have found it to be the most interesting, entertaining, interactive, social media app out there. And
yes,
so it just kind of happened. It was literally out of boredom. And then I was like, all right, well, I could do this. I think I could do this. And you know, it was not very instantaneous. The response for me, it took a minute to build a following, and then all it takes is one video. And then all of a sudden people were interested in what I had to say. And I was like, oh God, okay, well, I guess we'll have fun with this now.
I actually am one of those people that has not really explored TikTok. So I got on the app. I only follow Greg, but I was scrolling, and because I don't know, you'll have to tell me. I need both of you to kind of walk me through what I would maybe need to do, because I didn't get to set up really any of the For You or anything. I just instantly, like, things just popped up. And what I saw was just like a lot of boobs and then a police dog finding a criminal in a house. So
it's geared to what you like.
Yes. yeah.
True Crime and Boo.
And Greg.
True, exactly. Greg Gaeta. It sounds like a Law and Order episode to me, but... So there was this big-breasted prostitute, there was a crime dog, and then there was a gay guy in the corner making sassy comments. Law and Order.
Dun, dun.
Same time. So funny. Yes. Oh my gosh.
But now I feel like I'm about to go down the hole for days, because now it's on my phone. I've got the disease.
Greg, for people listening who may not know what TikTok is, could you give just like a little example or explanation for people who have no idea what we're talking about?
Yeah. I mean, the way I can describe TikTok is really that it's just extended. It's what Vine wanted to be, and I think what Vine should have been. You know, Vine, the whole appeal was that there's like 8 seconds. Well, that is too short of a time,
too
in my
short.
Opinion. So TikToks, can be any, you know, short length, but when you're recording them, they're usually anywhere from 15 seconds or longer. It's everything. It's any type of, there's so many niches on the app. So you can be in, you know, everything has a title. So it's like, oh, I'm on Chef TikTok, or I'm on DIY TikTok, or I'm on Gay TikTok, or I'm on, you know, Dance TikTok, I'm on Voice Teacher TikTok, I'm on Finance TikTok. Every person, every type of thing, every avenue, every profession is on the app. And, you know, speaking to Nicole earlier, like your For You page gets cultivated based on things that you like, based on sounds that you like, based on songs that were used that you like. And so you'll see a lot of repeated of those. And then every now and then the algorithm's smart, they'll throw in something like, you know, maybe you should get a dog video. And then you're like, no, skip. But it's like, it's perfect entertainment for the ADHD generation.
That's the perfect example. Yeah.
Yes. I know the thing that I'd kind of heard about TikTok was that it was a Gen Z, you know, like a really young kind of audience.
Out with like the dances.
Like literally 13-year-olds becoming famous. What's it like being that post-Gen Z TikTok star?
Well, thank you for making me feel old. What are you talking about? I am Gen Z.
What, I'm sorry, is Gen Z? Like 15 and under? I don't know.
Yeah. I just had this conversation with someone about this the other day, and technically our group is like the cusp of the millennials, and then you go down to anyone who's like 24, 23 and under is like the start of Gen Z.
Oh, okay. I thought it was even younger than that. I was thinking Gen Z was like 15.
There's something else. Oh, God. They have another name.
They're Gen Screwed.
So then tell us about your specific account, because it's one thing to be a scroller and it is another to be a creator. Mm. So what was it that I know that you said you were like, oh, I feel like I could do this, but how did that sort of just kind of evolve for you?
Well, I mean, when I first started, I put a lot of time and energy into thinking what video would I make. I was like, what am I going to do? I got to think of a funny idea. I got to think of something funny. And I would put tons and tons of effort into it, and it would get like 5 views and then die. And I was like, it was incredibly humbling. But I think also a really good lesson in just kind of get to the point, do what you do well, and keep doing it. And I gained like a little bit of a following, I would say, through the summer when I first started. And I had about, you know, I was hovering around 30,000 followers. And then I just told a story about what an interaction I had with my neighbor. And, you know, and I a lot of weird crap happens to me. I don't know if it's just my face or I did something in a previous life that deserves the, you know, I don't know. And so a lot of stuff, you know.
You were Boots.
I was Boots and Dora the Explorer. Come on. So I told a story about my neighbor. Because of COVID and everything, I decided, you know what, I'm putting my Halloween decorations up in September. The first week, I was like, I need some joy. I want to put some Halloween decorations up, done. And my neighbor came by and she made a little snippy comment about like, isn't it a little early? And I said, you know what? In any other year, I would agree with you. But you know what? Not this year. I don't care if you want to put Santa up in your lawn in September. I don't care if you want to ho, ho, ho. I will be right there with you. You know, I was like, and I said, find joy. You know, whatever makes you happy, that's what this year's about. You know, back off, Karen. Well, that video went viral and people were like, yes. Or they were like, why is she a Karen? And and I went from 30,000 followers to like over 100,000 followers in a day, you know, and it was like, what? Oh my God. Mm. And then I did a follow-up to that and people started getting invested in my neighbor. And so then I just started realizing, like, if I just tell people what happened to me in the day, that's what is interesting. And it's being myself. That's how Gregisms sort of kind of evolved. You know, I'll go on walks in my neighborhood. I live in a great city, so there's so much to see. There's so much to experience. And so it just sort of evolved into that. So my niche kind of was forced on me, but I think it was always deep down, you know, the real answer.
I think that the way you describe how your TikTok evolved really speaks to what works for this current generation. If you are your most authentic self, people will relate to you. You've really done that so well in your TikTok. I watched your TikTok for literally like an hour today because, of course, the TikTok hole, right? So I was like, oh, I haven't opened TikTok in a while. I'm going to watch Greg. And so I loved hearing all of the Greg-isms. Like, immediately, I started LOLing so hard at I Die Greg. Is going to stick with me. I Die Greg. Like, just going down and telling your stories are so funny. So what are some of the other Gregisms that have become popular on your TikTok?
Well, so that neighbor that I first talked about, I called her a Karen and I got a lot of crap for it. But then I also was like, you know what? She's not a Karen. And first of all, like let's destigmatize that name. And, you know, just someone having an opinion does not make them a Karen, you know. And so I was like, you know what? I'm going to call her Brenda because I love the name. I love 90210 and I like the name Brenda. I just sort of make these names up. I don't think about it too much. So I called her Brenda. And then about a week later, I found out her real name and her real name is Chris. And so I was like, all right, guys, I found out her name. Her name is Chris. And my followers were like, we like Brenda better. And I was like, I'm not going to rename her. So then I was like, so I just shoved the two together. So her name's Brenda Chris, which is not her name. Her name is Chris, but I call her Brenda Chris or BK sometimes for short. So that's a big one. People ask me all the time, how's Brenda Chris?
BK.
Who does not know that I have a TikTok or that she's famous because she really is the person that started this all.
What's that song? These are the people in your neighborhood. Oh, what is that song?
The neighborhood song.
What is that? Yeah. Where is that from?
Sesame Street?
I want to say it's a Sesame Street song.
Is it Sesame Street? In your neighborhood. You've literally made a career out of these are the people in your neighborhood.
Oh, my gosh.
I know. Now I can't move.
Yes.
Oh, right? Now I know. What would you do without Chris?
It's
Brenda,
like all these
Brenda
characters.
Chris, what would you do without her?
I don't know. But I think the biggest thing that caught on, I think, is definitely find your joy. And that's sort of been in a not like kumbaya-y way. I think it's been a mantra that's been in my life for a very long time, not just on TikTok. But and now everybody's stealing it. It's on like the cover of Better Homes and Gardens. It's like on four other magazines. I was like, what the hell, people? I was like, that is not coincidental.
You need a trademark.
Literally. I looked into it. Turns out you can't, but.
Oh, I know a lawyer.
Oh, I know you do.
Yes, we got lawyers in the family now. Okay.
So you kind of end every episode the same, right? Like you always say, find your joy. Tell us a little about find your joy.
Yeah. Well, find your joy actually has a really funny story, but out of a sad story. But so right after 9/11, I started working with an organization. Well, I'd already been working with them, but we started doing workshops with the schools that were in and around the World Trade Centers, drama therapy workshops to sort of get them talking about it, acting it out, expressing their feelings. And it was a really cool organization, but they also got really, really high profile celebrities to do it with us. many whom were not qualified to do a drama therapy workshop. However, it was delicious. One of the first ones was, I was in a circle and my group was Harvey Fierstein and Cyndi Lauper. Two incredibly iconic voices. And I don't just mean like voices in that, like voices in the pop zeitgeist. I mean like their actual voices are so iconically hilarious. So you've got Gravel McGee over to my left being like, you know, and you're like, I don't know what's wrong. I'm sorry, children. Like, they don't know who he is. So they're terrified of that stuff. And then you have New York, like, off the Brooklyn Bridge. Oh my God. Like, what are you doing, Cyndi? I mean, like, literally was just like, I'm just this gay boy from Ohio being like, and also like going to drama school being like, can we use our voice? Like, you're not using your liquid you, Cyndi. Like, you know, I'm trying to like bring it back to acting class. Someone asked Cyndi Lauper a question about how do you get through that, like, when you are feeling whatever. And she just like, cut through the brass tacks and was like, you know what it is, people? You gotta find your joy. Whatever you're doing, find your joy. And it's just the way she said it that I would repeat it to people, or I would say it throughout my whole life. I would just be like, and it, not necessarily in an inspirational way, but I would just be like, you know what? Find your joy. Whatever you want to do. And it started sounding like a New York mom. I'd just be like, if you're fine, find your joy. I don't care. Find your joy. And I just loved it so much. So it sort of evolved from that. And then, you know, I am a big proponent. I think my life, I have always been a pivoter and a mover. It's the Pisces in me. I think it's the performer in me. It's the fact that I'm single and I have no responsibilities in me and I'm able to do that. I feel like I'm constantly seeking that joy, if you will. And I think it is something. Joy is, I say joy is a journey, and it's not Amazon Prime, and it does not just get delivered and dropped in your lap in 2 days. It's something you have to sometimes get out of your own way to look for. Mm. And it's not Pollyanna to me to say find it, because what I think I tell people to do is, you know, as long as you're not hurting anybody, you get one life to live. So why not try to fill it with as much positive things that just make you smile, mm-hmm. You know? And so I try to be that sort of like cheerleader for everybody, that it's like, you know, there's no judgments anymore. I mean, that's what turning 40 taught me. Like, if you want to knit in the nude for 12 hours a day, girl, find your joy. I'm here for it. Make me something. You know what I mean? Like, what does that matter to anybody? But like, we have so many judgments in our younger years of like, oh, well, I can't knit in the nude. Like, that just, no, like, no, go do it. That's not hurting anybody. So if that's what makes you happy, it's sort of giving people permission, which I hate that we have to do, but it's giving people, I think, permission to sort of be whatever happiness and or find whatever happiness and then just enjoy it.
I love that.
Yes.
So thanks, like, Cyndi Lauper.
Cyndi, I feel like I'm similar. I've taken from Gloria Estefan many years ago, and my motto is turn the beat around. Like, I say it all the time. Like, turn the beat around. We're gonna turn the beat around.
Turn it around.
Right now.
So inspirational to hear. I know. I mean, it's along with, of course, your life stories and the isms and the neighborhood. The find your joy is totally infectious. Are you interacting with people who follow you in the comments? What are the comments section like, and how are you interacting with those people?
The comment section, honestly, is for me one of the most it has gotten me through so many days, especially when I was feeling down. The comments, my comment section, luckily, I'm very, very lucky. Maybe one or two negative comments, if at all anymore. I just get so much love thrown my way from people that are just saying, this made my day, you make my day, the oh my God, Brenda Chris is hilarious, or oh my God, Peggy is phenomenal. Like, I needed this, or you have no idea how much this, you know, I try to like every comment that I get on every video. I try to go through every comment at least to see it. And it's a very fun community of people. And people have started getting to know each other, and they've become friends, and they talk, and you know, I do trivia every Tuesday. I go live and do trivia every Tuesday night, and so you know, I've got a lot of people. You know, I get 400 people, 500 people.
That's so,
you know,
fun.
Every night.
I want to do it.
It's amazing. We're going to have to come to your trivia.
Oh my God, it's so much fun.
We've touched on it through the episode. And of course, what we do here at the Pink Lemonade Stand, it's like we do believe in positivity, you know, find your joy. I don't think it's Pollyanna either. And what we do here, we try and have that balance of the things that make us happy, the things that are the positive outlook on life, turn the beat around. But we also know life is full of lemons, honey. So we do ask every guest that comes to the Pink Lemonade Stand, what was that moment in your life, Greg, or something that turned you into a different person, or that brought you some hardship that afterwards you made it into lemonade? And if there was a time, could you share it with us?
I mean, there were so many times that I feel like you could open up your own store. Move over, Florida orange juice, because I constantly step in the shit, I feel like, but I feel like there's a reason for me to do that. So I like to look, I don't believe everything happens for a reason. I believe that we have constant choices to see what those things mean in our life. I don't look for the higher, I don't think there is a higher meaning. I sort of look for that higher meaning. So, I mean, I think for me, the biggest moment, I wouldn't even necessarily call like it was that it was lemons. It was the two closings of my show. So it was the closing of Mamma Mia in January of 2009 and the closing of 50 Shades in basically January of 2016. And it was this like bookended cycle of going, I don't know if I can do this anymore. And when 50 Shades closed, was really when I said, I got to get out of here. I got to get out of Las Vegas. I love Las Vegas. I love the opportunities that I had there and the people that I met, but I did not get to enjoy my life while I lived there because I was constantly terrified and worried about where my next paycheck would come from, where that next gig would come from. It was a big thing because my roots were growing in Vegas. They were going deep. I was there 15 years. At some point I was like, you know what? I think I'm just going to die at a slot machine. And call it a day with Debbie from Summerlin next to me. But you know, I was like, I got to get out of here. I got to get out and I got to do it or I'll regret it for the rest of my life. And so, and I moved to probably my favorite city in the world. I've been coming here for years before I moved here. And I am the happiest that I have been, maybe ever. And a lot of that has to do with the city. A lot of that has to do with just what this city does to you, offers for you. If you're bored in New Orleans, you're a boring person. And even though I'm still, I would, you know, maybe quote unquote struggling, I'm so, so beyond happy doing it. So
I love that you had that moment for yourself where you decided that you wanted to be in control of your destiny and what came next. I think that's so powerful and it's really hard to do. So, and it's a really brave thing to do. It's really rewarding when you can feel like you take that power back. And you say, no, I need to have some of this control because the unknown is sometimes just so unbearable.
I think it's all about redefining what the word success means, you know?
Yeah, and happiness.
You have to.
Yeah.
Right, you know? And you have to sort of look, like I always say to my students, I'm like, you know, if doctors only looked at, you know, Harvard Medical School as being successful, well, guess what? We'd all be dead. You know, so every city needs a doctor. Every city needs a theater. Every city needs that. And if you can find happiness doing that, realize what you're doing and stop comparing yourself to other people, which I need to take. That is advice I need to take on the daily because Lord knows it's hard. But you do have to redefine that and be like, you know what? I am successful. Like, and I think I'm trying to inspire this generation to think outside the Broadway box, if you will, and realize that I'll train you to get there, but I'm also going to help you bring you out as much as possible.
Oh, that's great. That generation's going to need to hear that voice from you. So that's very cool.
Yes. And Professor Greg will be sharing his Gregisms at the university level. And we can't wait
to take your class.
I know. You should just start the online.
Create your own university.
Of Greggism Greg University.
I mean, you know what? Who knows what will happen in a year when, you know, after my 800th interview and they're like, you went with someone else. You have
thousands of followers who can be a reference for you of a character reference.
Including Rosie O'Donnell.
Oh my God, that was insane. And on top of it, she pops into my lives every now and then and we'll chat.
What happened with Rosie?
So I did this, the idea for the house floats, came up and here down here. And so I proposed it to my followers. Okay, we're going to do a fundraiser. I want to hire some out-of-work artists to make my house look great for Mardi Gras. Everybody was doing it. And I was like, and then we're going to raise money to fill the community fridges, which is an amazing organization down here called NOLA Community Fridges. And I was like, we're going to do that. And so I was getting excited and I was like, tag everybody you know. And then I just said, tag Rosie O'Donnell because she just had recently joined TikTok. And so whenever I tell people to do anything, at least my followers, they're pretty loyal and they do it. I mentioned how I didn't have any Reese's trees at Christmas because they ran out. I got 36 boxes of at least 12 bags apiece of Reese's trees.
What?
Sent to my P.O. box. So,
that's incredible.
If I say something or mention that I like something, they take notice and they get sent. So, Rosie
can
got tagged.
Can you tell them to follow the Pink Lemonade?
I sure will. They're amazing. And so I said, tag Rosie O'Donnell, and she was tagged like 12,000 times.
Wow.
So she finally commented on a video. She commented on a video and was like, I love you. Let's go in a duet together. And then she popped in on a live that I was on. And I was like, oh my God, guys, did I just see? Because you can see who comes in your room just by the name. You don't see a photo or anything. And I was like, it said at Rosie joined. And I was like, oh my God, guys, did Rosie O'Donnell just pop in this room? And she's like, yes, I did. And I was like, wait, like for real Rosie O'Donnell? Like Rosie O'Donnell, like, you know, and it was just hilarious. So then someone mentioned on her live, like, oh, I love that you're in contact with Greg from New Orleans. And she went on this rant about me, about how much she loved me and how funny I was. And she just loved, and I was like, the fact that she has my name in her mouth is
that's
like
incredible. You also mentioned your charities that you're working with. Can you tell us about the charities and your involvement with that? We want to tell our listeners.
Yeah, 100%. So there's this organization here called NOLA Community Fridges. There are 15 freestanding refrigerators all over New Orleans. And they're literally just in front of someone's house. And they're decorated by local NOLA artists. Wow. All of them are BIPOC. So the organization has reached out specifically to find marginalized, Black, Indigenous, and people of color artists that are out of work. And so they design and color the and it's literally
amazing,
like take a penny, need a penny type situation. Wow. The community fills it, and if you need it, you go up, you take whatever you need and you go away. If you can put something back in, great. If not, there's no questions asked.
Wow.
And the great thing about it for me is that, you know, it takes a lot of humility to sort of admit that you need help or to go to a food bank. And on top of it, I didn't know this, but like some food banks require an ID. They require like a social security because some of them are using it as tax write-offs. So there's like a lot of a process of trying to get food in your hand that I didn't even know existed. And this literally puts food in the hands of people so directly. And, you know, in that fridge is what you would expect in your fridge. So people make meals. I've made over 1,500 meals at this point, to fill all the different refrigerators with the money that's been donated. And the reason I want to make them is because I was like, you know what? I want these people to have something good, and I'm a damn good Italian cook. So I'm going to make some rigatoni, yo. And we, you know, as opposed to just buying it, I wanted to do it. And so I will never know what it's like to not know where my next meal comes from or where I can get it. And to be that, it was incredibly eye-opening, humbling. And I just was like, okay, I'm doing this every weekend. They are a phenomenal organization. I don't have anything to do with them. They started it. I just am their biggest cheerleader and want to make sure that people know about it.
Oh, I'm so glad you shared. That's amazing. I wish we had that in Los Angeles. That would be...
I wouldn't be surprised
maybe
if you
we
did,
do.
To be honest.
Yeah, we'll have to look it up.
That's really cool.
So you said it's NOLA Community Fridges. So
.org, yeah.
They're... such a great organization, something to do to give back. So you've had your supporters getting involved, which is also incredible. And the fact that you were home making all that stuff.
Woo.
Amazing.
So good.
Okay, Greg, we have come to a point where we are ready to get juicy with you. So we have a couple of questions for you that we want to ask, and we want you to just say the first thing that pops into your head.
Okay.
Are you ready for this?
I hope so.
Okay. Here we go. Which Golden Girl are you?
Dorothy. Mm.
Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade or Mardi Gras?
Mardi Gras.
Who's your favorite TikToker?
Oh, God. I love that one stumped me. Like, his name is Zachariah. It's like three Z's. We have very similar energies, but he goes to Target and he'll do tours of Target and he's like, oh my God, look at the towels. He's delicious and he loves Dunkin' Donuts. So
yes, I love it. Zachariah.
Follow him. He's so great.
Okay. Cafe Du Monde, beignets, or New York City pizza?
How dare you? I don't have a sweet tooth as much as, first of all, a Cafe Du Monde beignet is literally like a fried donut with a pound of cocaine on top of it, because it is the amount of powdered sugar that they waste is a sin.
I'm going to choose
the New York pizza because I love a salty situation.
Okay.
Any day of the week.
Love it. 50 Shades of Grey or Grey's Anatomy?
50 Shades of Grey.
Love it. You did.
Yes. Well, Greg, we have just had the best time talking with you today.
I could just talk to you all day. I feel like we've been chatting.
So much fun.
I know. It was so much fun. So for everyone out there, you are going to want to follow along with Greg on TikTok at Gregisms and on Instagram at Catater Todd.
That was my high school nickname.
Catater Todd. Well, another thing, too, I want our listeners to know about is your really cool merch, because I was looking through it. It's amazing. All the shirts and mugs that say Find Your Joy and your neighborhood.
Yes.
Your neighborhood mugs and t-shirts. Yeah. It's so cool. You have so many cool items on there that we'll post in our episode notes for people to look at.
Awesome.
Yes. My gosh, Greg, it was so good to see you. So good to talk to you. Thank you so much.
Oh my God, my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
So good to have you here.
Oh, I just love Greg so much. Now, we have saved the zest for last, where we talk about some of the things we are completely obsessed with.
Okay, so I have a story to tell you. Something life-changing happened to me this week. I want to share it with you. I want to share it with everybody. Ooh. I've never been so happy and obsessed with something. So I'm a pretty tidy person. I like to be clean, but how often do we deep clean? Like, for me, never.
Never.
And I don't want to clean the bathroom.
I'm not touching a baseboard. Hell no.
No. And there are spots that just go untouched. I would be, if I did, you know, yoga on the floor, I would see, I'm going into child's pose or whatever, shavasana, and I'm seeing everything on my floor. Like, this is disgusting. Oh, I cannot anymore. So our dear friend Mark, he referred me to this wonderful woman named Rosa, who is the cleaning lady of all cleaning ladies. And for me, this is an extra expense that I had to save for, because I don't have the kind of funds to just have someone come and clean every month, as much as I would love that. Goals. Right. Hashtag goals.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So I moved into my apartment in June, and it's been since June that I had a real proper cleaning. I have to tell you, it's cleaner than when I moved in. The floors, I could lick them. I could walk barefoot for the first time in months, just walking around barefoot, feeling, it's amazing.
Oh,
I cannot describe to you. Oh, the feeling is yes. She cleaned every baseboard. She cleaned under the freaking couch. When I got into Shavasana, I looked down and I'm like, oh damn, she cleaned under the couch. She cleaned inside the Nespresso machine. I am not kidding you.
That's deep.
She
got deep.
She cleaned the cleaning supplies.
Oh, wow.
She cleaned everything.
This is next level.
It's next level. I'm telling you, if you live in LA, if you're looking for somebody, this is your woman. She needs work. I'm going to promote her. I can't even express.
I'm going to save up and get Rosa for myself too, because mm-hmm. I have not had any cleaning assistance for years, probably 5 years. Yeah. I've never had anybody clean, but it's kind of a dream goal of mine to do that.
If you're going to spend $100 on a massage, save that money. Keep the massage, self-care with this. I am telling you, it's better. It's better. And my productivity this week
totally
went up.
Agree.
I wanted to be at home.
That is thrilling. And I will say, I had been obsessed with a cleaning company on Instagram called Go Clean Go. And I've been watching their cleaning videos. They really did inspire me to do some more next level cleaning than I'm used to. And mm-hmm. I downloaded mm-hmm. their handbook and everything. And they introduced me to the powdered Tide laundry kind of cleaning solution that they just swear by everything. They clean everything with water, bleach, and Tide. That's like they put it on a shirt, water, bleach, and Tide. And so I started using that as sort of like this multi-purpose cleaner. Honestly, it's like my big fat Greek wedding with the Windex. Like, put Windex on it.
Windex!
Like, it's put Tide on it. That's what I do now. I'm like, everything, I tied everything.
So she had something in her purse that she pulled out that was in a water bottle, homemade potion from home, and it was her own magic spell. And she... It might have been. Today, to send you off with the good feels, here is our seed for the soul in honor of our guest, Greg Cada. Be yourself. Everyone else is already taken, by Oscar Wilde.
Oh, I love that.
I love that too.
So true.
So unique. So true.
Find your joy.
Find your joy. And thank you all so much for stopping by the Pink Lemonade Stand. We will be here every single Monday.
We would love it if you would squeeze that subscribe button, leave us a 5-star review, and follow us on Instagram at the PLS Podcast for more sweet treats throughout the week.
Now remember, when you're feeling like an old bitter rind, remind yourself you are a gorgeous,
delightful,
fabulous glass of pink lemonade.
Now go out there and squeeze the day.
Pink lemonade stand.